right, let's go.
What's up, Melanated family? This is your brother Harrison Mann back for a brand new episode of the Melanated Convo Podcast. How's everybody doing out there, my people? Do me a favor, man. If you didn't catch last episode or the last few episodes of the Melanated Convo Podcast, do me a favor, man. Go to the Melanated Convo on YouTube. If you prefer listening to your podcast, go to Apple Podcasts, go to Spotify, all of the digital platforms. You can find the show there. You feel me? And today we got another fresh one. You feel me? Because I've been doing this for a while, as you all know, but it's rare that I actually get somebody in the building that do what I do. You feel me? I've interviewed maybe a few podcasters, but not a lot. Like some dudes that do radio, kind of do podcasts. But this brother, it's going to be an interesting conversation because not only is he from Sacramento like me, not only do he got a basketball history like me in this city, but also he 10 toes down in this podcast and shit, family. So we're going to get it in today with my brother Jerish Roberts, a.k.a. Coach JT. Bring my brother on. What's going on with you, man?
Yo, 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 man. I appreciate you, my guy, for having me on, man. Love what you're doing, too. Like I said, man, you on the grind. We got a lot of similarities, man. So I know it's going to be a dope one. Everybody, appreciate y'all tapping in.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So I want to start, because it's your first time on the show, so I want to start with your history a little bit. So you went to Kennedy High School. Everybody who's in Sacramento like me, right? We're familiar with this high school. You went to Kennedy High School, and you were a basketball player there, right?
Yes, sir. Yep. Played only 3 years. Didn't play my freshman year, you know what I'm saying? Got cut. Got cut the freshman year early out the gate, man.
Some Michael Jordan shit, huh? Got cut that freshman year, came on back.
I will say this for off rip for the kids who are trying out for teams. You got to do both. You got to be accurate. You got to go to school the same way you put in your schoolwork, put on the court. Same way you put on the court, put in the classroom, man. Started there. That's how that's the second phase after the middle school phase, man. But Kennedy High School where I started, man.
That makes sense. I mean, and so the name of his podcast, everybody, is 94 Feet with Coach JT. And I seen the title. This is before I looked you up. I seen the title like 94 Feet.
Everybody know what that is?
Yeah, Hooper.
Hey, that's different. That's how I made my mark. I had to pick up 94 feet, no matter what it was, bring that energy, bring that defensive intensity, and just bring that dog for a guy my size, but also bring that intangible that every coach would want. At the time, you know what I'm saying, to get on the court. So I was like, that was my gig. That was my role. I'm going to do it wholeheartedly, and I'm going to embrace that thing. So I made sure I was ready for that every game, Jay. I got to guard 94 feet, not stop.
From soon as they take the ball out.
I'm right there. Pocket, bro. Like I said, man, I'm that guy. Like I said, people know, they see the Pat Bevs in the NBA now, all that stuff like that. But we a little older than Pat Bev. I was doing that years ago. Like that was about, that was my calling. I knew eventually, wasn't the best shooter. Okay, we got a shooting team. Didn't need me to handle the ball a lot. Okay, whatever. What you need me to do? Play defense? I could do that. Nonstop. But against no matter, and fearless too though, man. Like our guys get irritated. Like I was that dude, man. Like, oh, me really? Too. It's gonna be a long night, my guy. Like, hey, strap it up. But also I knew as a player, that's what my team needed for us to have the best chance to win. But the thing about it is my friends and some of my best friends of the day, they love that. They used to fuel me up. Like, Jay, let's go. I was like, oh, these boys, because it would get them going too. It got them going. If I was locked in, it was like, oh, Jay, going. We going with him. I was like, okay. We going
to there's so many out. Pieces. There's so many pieces to winning in sports. And I think these days, a lot of kids get it misconstrued a little bit with the looking at the Steph Currys of the world and not realizing how much time that brother actually put in to perfecting his craft, but they just looking at shooting. They looking at the sexy pieces of the game. And I tell a kid quick, do you want to be in the game? It's 1,000 things you can do to keep your spot. It ain't just shooting. You see what I'm saying? It ain't just shooting. It ain't just being able to take somebody off the dribble. It's a lot that comes with it. And people don't realize that a coach need the gritty dudes. A coach need that dude that's going to jump on the ground and don't want to shoot. Don't worry, who ain't tripping off shooting. You see what I'm saying? But going to make sure he get it done. Young people, that's why it goes hand in hand with me when I finding out that you a coach, because that kind of person makes a good coach too. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I want to get this clear too. People may think that, yes, this is 2024, right? Yes, we know it's offensive catering to basketball. Yes. Now people want to see points, excitement. But however, eventually, as we know, as just complete ball players, me as accused of coaches being around the game enough, you need the other two-way players is what gets you those wins and those championships. Yes, yeah. You have a main score, but sometimes think about it like this. If your main scorer scores 30 and you give up 25 to somebody else, it's a 5-point difference.
Mm-hmm.
Who's getting the stops? How are we defensively as a team? How are we getting, you know what I'm saying, getting the other team off the floor? Like, we got some, shout out to my homie John James. Shout out to him. He does something called like a kill. You get 3 stops in a row. Can you get 3 stops in a row? Like, it's going to come times in the game where you got to get 3 stops in a row to put the game in hand, or you might have to win the game on a defensive stop. And I'm like, yeah, I do like to get buckets, trust me. But boy, oh boy, most of my team, people, I mean, I've coached with, they like, man, your teams play defense. They
you got to stop somebody.
I mean,
you got to stop somebody.
Make other guys uncomfortable. I'm not like high school kids scoring 35 points in the game. I'm like, okay.
How'd that happen?
Some of them I've given their skill set. I'm like, yeah. But really, as a coach for me, I'm like, y'all don't do scouting. Y'all don't see the film. It's film everywhere.
Yes.
It stats up on max reps all over. I said, y'all don't scout. If he don't touch the ball, that limits his chance of scoring that many points. At least thing I'm going to do is do that. I'm going to limit possessions, man, from that best guy to give my team the best chance to win. And you know what I mean? It's just an aspect of where also a coach, you know, your team is kind of mimic how your coach is to a certain extent, right?
That's a fact. The personality, I mean? Yeah, so, definitely.
You know what I mean? And some of these coaches are blessed to get highly athletic teams, highly talented teams. Some don't have as much. So everybody has to do, and they play in the card they're dealt with, which is true. And I've always accepted that role, right? Whatever I'm dealt with, that's what I just want to do the best with that group. But also, like, off the court, though, it's making a better young man, man. Like I said, man, it's a 1% to get to go past high school.
Yes.
It's rare, bro. It's tough.
But you got to be there, yeah.
Yeah, even post-COVID. Post-COVID, right? So now, when I talk to a couple coaches, it's they going transfer portal first, JC next, even fifth-year seniors probably, then prep school, then high school seniors now, unless you're a real five-star kid. That's very rare, man. Look how long that line is, man. So – kids that out of high school now, you're either going to JUCO or prep school to even before you even get anywhere. You know what I mean? So be ready to be a young man, though, too, man. Relationships.
Yeah. Like that. So something I want to touch on with you, too, because I see you went to college, right? So you got your master's and you got your BA. Now, because now you coaching, I see, like, in what you do for a living kind of helps the community as well. Mm-hmm. What made you go in that angle? Like, because when we in high school, we're about to go to college, sometimes people pick majors that's like a bullshit based on them being an athlete or based on somebody telling them about something. They're not really dialing in to, I'm gonna pick what I want to do now. So I don't got to go back and keep changing shit. So what made you go in that direction and like helping kids and helping the community?
Man, I grew up in church, man. My mom from the South, my dad's actually from Jamaica, man. So, but just family early, like that's what it was. And you know, going to church, that was the other hangout, man. So I played ball. That's my basketball family. Then I have my church family. So eventually me being who I am, I combined it both because I used to invite my church family to basketball game functions or the people of my age, or they would come support me or my basketball. If we go to a gathering, a couple come to church, but it was family. But also, you know what I'm saying? So just heavy on Christ and believing, but also, you know what I mean? I don't know. I just found that my auntie, them, they had a lot of foster kids growing up. But also just early on, I saw that it wasn't black men doing in their child care. So I have my undergrad degree in child development family studies. So I was working at Fort Thars in junior college, my sophomore year. Coach was like, I was like, man, I'm gonna get a little job, coach. But then one of the guys on the team, he already worked at Fort Thars, and I was like, you know what? I already like working with kids. Cool. Went over there, got there, and I was like, you know what? Child development is gonna be my major. And when I transferred to Alcorn State University, to HBCU, I was like, man, I still like working with kids. I just felt they needed the type of seat, somebody like me, who could relate, but also see a male.
That's a fact.
And support them. But also, I was like, you know what? Coming back home, I felt it was a field that I could prosper in and do that. And then going out there in college, man, it was probably only 2 dudes in the whole field. So one back then, it was cool because they were number 2. Keep it 100. It was 2 dudes and all women. I'm like, oh, this is cool. Ain't no dude. It's 2 dudes. We got it sewn up. They like the dude. They like the dude who like kids. That's cool. But then the relations, man. Like my teacher, she passed away out there a while ago. But she just valued. She's like, hey, JT, I see a lot in you. I mean, because I used to come, I'm in the classroom, I had to do my practice teaching, like those people down there really made me feel, but also the students, man, they would love you come to the classroom. They want to play on you, see if guy, bigger stature, they cling to you, man. So that mentorship and that type of father figure, uncle, whatever, it just sat well with me, man. I was always taught to just bless others, but also realize that you are a mentor, whether you like it or not. If you're in that situation, so it's like, you know what I mean? Just be, do right by the kids, help them grow because we know, again, our people have it difficult from early ages, right? So I mean, never knowing what them kids may need, an outlet, somebody to talk to, something positive for the day. And I was like, you know, and I enjoyed it though, man. It was, that part was not work. Trust me, going to little daycares, sitting at the little desk, doing little stuff like that, doing homework and learning, it wasn't work for me because I enjoyed really being a light for a boy or a girl at that age to where they, again, like I said, thank you. Or their parents say, hey, thank you for my son and daughter. Thank you for taking care of them. Thank you for watching them. I was like, that was a blessing for me, man. That was filling.
So this is a fact. That's a fact, bro. And I think sometimes the men in our community, speaking directly to the black men in our community, none of us chose to be like black men, right? So the situations that take over our community, all the systematic issues that we have to deal with, we didn't really choose any of this. We just thrust in it. But we need to realize, JT, that a lot of our kids, for whatever reason, don't really have that relationship with their pops. Don't really come, well, not a lot, but some of them don't really have a relationship with the pops. Don't really come from scenarios where it's two parents. So You may sign up to be a coach or some type of mentor and don't know it's going to come with a lot.
Oh, man.
Because these kids got baggage. These kids coming from situations where a man wasn't around. So just you said something that was important. You a mentor whether you want to be or not. Man. If you around kids, they going to pick up something from you.
Yes.
So You should change your mindset to say, you know what? I'm going to give them something good. Even if I'm off doing whatever, I'm going to take like the best of me and present it to these kids. Because when I go to Florin Road and all these other parts of the community that I'm used to going to and that I grew up being around, a lot of shit hasn't changed. Oh, you know what I mean? And everybody need to take it like a personal responsibility to make something happen different. You know what I mean?
And I think I would like for people to just take that approach and accept it, though. Don't think accept that it. Because either you do something different or you move a different way, you still can maneuver yourself differently consistently or Definitely when you're in the presence of someone you're impressionable upon, right? Mm-hmm. So if I know I'm in this setting, I need to carry myself different. It's okay. Even if you know your stuff is bad or you're going through some stuff, but I'm around this group, I can carry myself differently, man. Again, I shout out to a lot of I hate to say it too, though, a lot of our youth, our people don't go to churches anymore.
Yeah,
because I had OGs in church or deacons in church. They say deacons. I actually sometimes if I was good, not skip Sunday school, we'll go to McDonald's. We have a conversation. AJ, how you doing? Checking in on you. You doing this? You doing okay? And I was like, so that was really their time to mentor me. I thought I was getting out of going to Sunday school, but I went with the deacon. But we had breakfast. But he was checking on me. He
was and it was Sunday me. School still. It was just a different kind of Sunday school.
He was teaching me. He was like, Jay, how we doing? How's school going? How's your mom? How you and your sister doing? You know what I mean? How y'all doing? And I was like, I didn't look back on it now. That's really what they was doing. They was providing information for me. They was being a resource for me. I could tell them anything. I could sit there and know. So I knew if I didn't have that at home, which I didn't have that at home either. But I knew Sunday school, even if I'm in church or on the grounds and saying what's up, or if we got to go out to eat, I could have those conversations with men who really cared about me as a person, man, which I thought was so dope, man. I mean, it was just like, hey, these ain't my blood relatives, but this dick love me like I'm his grandson. His pastor loved me like I'm his grandson. It was like that was a dope feeling. So, and we're coaching, man. Think about it. People think it's just, I mean, coach can show up and leave. And bro, I've been this is my 17th year. I graduated college in 06. I jumped right into coaching in 2006, the fall when I came back from college. And all those players, you adapt them. It don't matter if they're on the freshman JV team, varsity, you're responsible for those young men if you want to be if you're in it for the right reasons. I'll say that.
If you're in it for the right reasons.
I always wanted to be in it for the right reasons. What about that little stipend we get? It wasn't about nope. Yes, I would like to win all these games, trust me. But shout out to Coach Jones, Coach Fong, Coach McKenna, Coach West, and Alcorn. It was about being a better man, bro. Like, that's what it was. Because I'm like, it was like, everybody ain't going to make it to the league. Was that a dream? Yeah, but that hoop dream went away from me quickly. I said, I ain't going to make this. But now, how can I be impactful? How can I be a greater blessing to somebody else? And I was like, you know what? I got to keep my morals to the front. And let the parents know that too. Like, hey, it's about education. Young men, being in relationship, don't burn bridges, and being thankful for what you got. Because again, this could all be taken away, man, with the snap of a finger. And especially as I got older and just go through some things in life and think some things change, some things go away, some things get better. I'm like, you know what? I was taught right. And I feel like, you know what? No matter what anybody says, I'm doing things the way I felt is right for me. You know what I mean? And because they'll try to change you, man. And on the flip side, they'll try to tear you down. Keep it 100, man. I've been through some stuff behind the scenes via hate emails, text messages, all kind of stuff, man. And I was like, damn, am I doing something wrong? Am I doing something bad? But like, you know what? No, I know why I'm doing this.
You just got to keep grinding. Because like you were saying, I've run into people because everything I do is out of the kindness of my heart, man. Everything I do with my show, the little organization that I've started, Everything I try to do for fathers in Sacramento, because like I told you before we started, bro, I'm a father of five. I had two kids while I was in high school. I was a part of that. You know what I mean? So I'm like, nah. One of the biggest things I began to realize as I got like in my early 30s, really, was like, okay, I'm going to do my best to learn about my history. And that really helped me turn a corner. And I'm like, nah, I got to try my best to help some of these kids, man. Because when I was younger, yeah, I had older brothers. Yeah, I had some men in the community that was trying to help out. But I had too many. It was too many dudes around that was on some cool shit. Everybody wanted to be cool. Even now, when I was coaching, I've seen coaches who talk to the kids like they're their friend. Oh, nigga that, nigga this. Talking to a 12-year-old. I'm like, okay, brother, I appreciate you being here and taking your time because that's important. But they don't need no nigga shit. Like, give them the other side of all of this, and they're going to land wherever they land. But they getting too much of that.
They get it. That's everywhere. Yeah, that's
on the phone. Everywhere already. You know what I mean?
That's on the phone. That's in the on the phone. That's on the
come on now.
The kids. That's how they communicate. They need something different. And I will say this, like you said, we were born to this. It also it's hurt to say, but a guy interviewed down. He did the Warriors. Man, I'm thinking my man's now. I'm finna get it right though. But he did the Warriors. He did, I think, maybe 15, 17 years in San Quentin, right? So he got out and he was like, I interviewed him. He got a chance to do the Lakers. His name is Aaron Taylor, Showtime Taylor. You got to look him up. You might tap into him, bro. Showtime Taylor. He did the broadcast for the Kings. He started doing it in the prison, though, San Quentin. And they're like, you know what? Yeah, he did a broadcast. I mean, for the Warriors when, during COVID. He killed the man, dude, great dude. He said, JT, nah, I'm applauding you. I said, why? He said, man, you the one that made the right decisions. You stayed out of jail.
Come on now.
Stay out of prison.
Come on now.
All these guys who were in prisons, son or daughters, while they were locked up. And I was like, nobody's ever told me thank you like that way.
Come on now, because it's so commonplace for our young men to spend time in jail where it's almost like a badge of honor. But any young dude need to realize any real man who been to jail 15, 17, 18 years, they gonna salute a quote unquote square, right? I've been getting called that my whole life just because I'm not turning the corner the way you turning it, just because I'm not with certain shit. But what does every man want to eventually do? Square up. That means get a regular life, get a regular woman, get a 9-to-5. Everybody wants to make it to this destination. But when you young, everybody make it seem like that's not something nobody want. But at the end of the day, yeah, it is. You see what I'm saying? So, yeah, he should be saluting you, opposed to in my neighborhood when a dude came back from the pen, he used to get love.
Yep, and that's what he was saying. I was like,
he just came back from school or some shit. You know what I mean?
And he said, Jay, look at the numbers. Look how many dudes. Some of it is self-inflicted, right? But then society too. All of us are locked up or dead or on some type of whatever. You know what I mean? Now the mental health stuff and the drugs. He said,
all of that.
You're choosing or you made decisions not to do these things and do something different. Mm-hmm. It's harder for you to not fall in that. And I was like, nobody's ever put in that perspective. He said, but also Jay, with that, Jay, so you need to take care of yourself. That comes with a lot of pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, bro, I said, sir, you made a lot of sense. I respect that. That made me feel again like, you know what? Yeah, we one of them ones. Early on, maybe self-esteem issues were a little bit, but I was like, you know what? Nah, I know how I carry myself.
Mm-hmm.
I respect, you know, respect people. I was raised correctly, but I give others. I give of myself to these boys, all men, women, whatever, if it's training, whatever it is, working all the time. And I know why, because I want to see them succeed. I'm like, yeah, so it's definitely something I just take to heart, man, and carry myself and just try to teach other kids, man, because I say, you know what? It can take you a long way. You know what I'm saying?
To
people, you feel me?
Yeah, now 94 feet with JT. Now tell me, because I know how like my podcast journey started and what my goal was and just the reason I got into it, right? So tell me, why did you start your podcast?
Man, so in COVID, you know, we had that free extra time during COVID, man. Mm-hmm. Everything was on the internet, on YouTube. And a guy, again, he shout out to Odie Strahan, man. He has a Straight Talk with Strahan podcast. He called me for an interview and I was like, oh, yeah, I'm with it. Cool, I'll try it. I'll do it. So I interviewed him, but I was like, you know, me, we the competitors too, but I'm like, I could do this. I talk to my boys all the time. We have this type of talk. It'd be intense. We didn't get the blows. I love my boys to death. We get the almost kind of blows and be friends afterwards because this is we want to get our point across.
Yeah.
But also, man, just being blessed to live in Sacramento, California, travel up down south, go to Mississippi, the network. I said, man, I can interview people I went to school with, but also I got boys that play in the league. My best friend played overseas for 14 years. I got to go to Korea and say he won a championship. I said, man, I'm friends with Dante Green, played for the Kings. This Jason Thompson, I was like, man, but I've been respectful for all these dudes, right? They could always count on me for good advice, solid advice, or look out for them when needed, or just have, you know, be good people. And I was like, you know what? Mm-hmm. I could reach out to these people. I started writing down the names. I said, bruh, I got a list over 50 already in like a 20-minute sitting. I said, I'll try to get this. I said, you know what? And I was like, I asked Odie, Mr. Ostrahan, I said, man, how do I get started? He said, man, just get you a microphone, get you a Yeti, get your iPhone. If you want to do audio first, do audio. And I said, all right, I'm going to try it. So I sat in the closet, bro, plugged the headphones up, recorded my first one. I was like, that was cool. It was just conversation.
Yeah, said, yeah, yeah.
You know, you see more, but then you start seeing other people doing it. And I was like, damn, it's moving around. Another year go by, I said, they get in the bag, the advertisement.
Yeah.
But also you can see the difference too, though, man. People chasing the drama, chase the clicks. And I was like,
yep.
I'm not messy, though.
Yep.
Not messy. Don't be everybody's business. Mm-hmm. I said the value in, but somebody else told me, figure out what's you. Find the value, what you want to bring, because you can chase whatever. But I was like, man, I originally had the title was like Honest Conversation with Good People. Just, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, I'm having right now. And I was like, you know what? But that, will it make heck of, will you get hella views, JT? I'm like, you know what? I even worry about that. Yes, I would like them, but you know what? I want people to come out of that saying, you know what? Thanks for the opportunity, Jay. Appreciate that. But also I say, you know what? Sacramento is home for me, man. Mm-hmm. Is anybody in Sacramento doing it like me? And I was like, oh no, man. I said, I'm gonna try to take this thing over to where my face go with whatever, my title of my show. But also when I walk in the place, like I said, they know, hey, Coach JT.
Respect for what you're doing. Yeah, bro.
And they respect it and they see value in it, but they hold it to heart. But also resources. And one thing I did when the highlight was bringing HBCU light to California. Like, I mean, my twin went to HBCU. A lot of my boys went to HBCUs. I'm like, you know what? Them were some of the best times in my life, man.
Wait, because you went to Alcorn State, right? Yep, I was reading. Did you hoop for him too?
I did. Yeah, I walked on. Yeah, I walked on a scholarship too. Like, man, that grind, man. I'm telling, like I said, man, I done been there. People, man, we could bring out the documentation videos if we had them or pictures, but like, man, I really did that from nothing. Like, I left Sac City. Shout out to moms, man. You know, mom gonna plug you, right? So she went to school with the coach at the time at Alcorn State, but I guess he told her I was 6'4". I get down there, I'm 5'11", 6 feet barely. He was like, ooh, I guess you ain't sick. But my sister, you know, my mom had my older sister, her dad's from Natchez, and their whole family is, they 6'7", 6'8". So he was like, ooh, you a green or a more? Okay, I know he's going to be selling me. She's like, nah, man, I'm Robert's last name. He was like, it's cool, Jay. He was a God-fearing man. He was like, Jay, you come here, do what you do, work, and we'll see what happens. I said, all I had to do was get a chance. But I get down there, you know what I mean? And the one best thing, man, to this day, like I said, my grandparents passed away for a while. They stayed like 30 minutes away, but they got to see me play basketball. They never got to see me play in high school because I was in California. So I didn't do AU travel that way. My grandparents, man, used to ride the little hill about 30, 40 minutes, man, come to every game they could. And I was like, if I don't go there, that don't happen, man. And I got to spend time with them. Like, they're 30 minutes away. They're 30 minutes away, man, from our school in the middle of nowhere. All corner in the woods, like in the sticks, right? So I go to grandma's house on the weekends. I hang out and chill, man, or just hang with grandma. Sitting on the driveway, bro. If you know about the country, driveway with grandpa, we just chill.
Come on now.
Crickets chirping, getting dark, whatever. I'm a country living, like small town. But for me, ain't come from California, it was a good change of pace too. Once I got adapted, because man, I value the time of my grandparents, man, before they passed away. And it was like, they were some chill people, man. Again, to the day I tell my boy, my grandma, sometimes I would be kind of not sneaky. She know I wasn't sneaky. I'll bring my laundry down. I start to load, but I go run around the town for a day. Okay, go back on Sunday. Grandma have all my stuff laid out, folded. My sister's just like, boy, she spoiled you. I said, hey, don't worry about that. Me and her, that's my grandma. But that was our thing, man. I tell everybody today, man, I never knew before I got down there, she was a huge Kobe fan, man. You know what I mean? But you know, then they're 2 hours behind. She'd be up at 10 o'clock at night
watching them games. Yeah.
I was like, and I'm a hoop fan. I was like, she really liked Kobe. She loved Kobe Bryant. My grandma, I say, you know what? But that was our bonding time, man. You know what I mean? And that's why I said that value in that, it made it worth, and the struggles too, right? So I must think, if you know about Jackson State, it's in a little more city, right? All court, you got to drive an hour out the city. But the community there, man, you got to rely on people, man. My best friend just left, man, this morning. He came for the weekend. Terry Large, man, he's like my old big brother. I met him as soon as I got down there. He kind of got me on the right path early, and he's someone I could rock with. But other than that, it was like I went through some losses, man. I went through some hard times. We lost some friends, lost some classmates to different they lost their lives for different stuff. But also, I gained a lot of family, bro. Like, that's family. Like, people, HBCU homecomings, it's a family reunion, bro. Like, people come back.
Yeah, damn.
And they kick it, man. They just have time and talk all night about reminisce. Yes, we reminisce. But it's about the struggle, the success. But also, people successful, man. I've interviewed doctors I went to school with, lawyers, business people, sports people. I'm like, bro, they all came from HBCUs.
All came from HBCUs. You know what I mean? And that's the HBCU experience. I can only imagine how impactful that is. But also, like, my family is from New Orleans, right? So there's the Black American in the South is different than the Black America in the West or up North. They're just different kinds of people, right? It's all the systematic issues we deal with, all the family issues we deal with, that don't matter where you at. That's going to happen, right? But Southern, like Southern hospitality, look, if you've anybody listening to me, if you've never been to the Southern states, if you don't have any family, you can go visit in the Southern states. Southern hospitality is a real thing, bro. Like everybody you meet, right? Tell me I'm lying. Everybody you meet is offering you food. Well, everybody you meet, they make you feel so comfortable. You'll be like, damn, can I take a nap? You know what I mean?
So get this, right? Before, I wasn't saying the ma'am and sir before I went to school. I was just saying, you know, being polite. My mom knew that. But once I spent my time down there, I come home. Yes, sir. Ma'am.
Come on now.
Yes, sir. And people out here are like, what? I said, man, that's just what it is. That's just what, I mean, from the kids, better say that. Like, respect should be there, but also you respect your elders no matter what. You speak with the older like that, but also, you know what I mean? Somebody come to your house, you want some water? You're going to try a little some of this. You can get some. You want some tea? You're going to show them that kind of love because you want to make them feel welcome, but also it's like, it's a lasting impression, man. You know what I mean? People down there, I don't know you. I'm walking to the mall. I'm going to say, hey, how you doing? Hey.
Everybody speaks. Yeah.
Hey, how you doing? Now, certain parts, you may not get that where you at, but you know you ain't supposed to be in that area anyway, but somewhere everything, at least a comment, hi, hey, how you doing? That's it, going about your day, and that's what it is, man. And I think people say, I mean, I would say I was blessed, though, so I can take the Cali mentality. You know, we talk a little faster, move a little different, hustle, right? We hustle hard, but also going down there, getting away with polite, better get things done.
Slow it down a little bit.
Slow it down, but I said, I can do it with both, though. I can do, because I was working, I was having a job, playing ball. I was doing, they was like, man, how you do? I said, hey, you got to be polite to these people. You got to, you know what I'm saying? You got to know how to talk to them. You got to be respectful, but also you got to let them know how you're feeling or what, how you can help better their situation or yours, what they support. Mm-hmm. And they're going to rock with you. They're like, oh, you know what? Because it's hard being a D1 athlete. So I remember times, again, that the people in my classroom, hey, I got games. You think y'all can send me this? JT, don't worry about it. Go to your game. We're going to see the class information, and you go do your part when you get back. I was like, I appreciate y'all. They didn't have to look out for me like that. I didn't have hella family out there like that, but they was like, you know what? Da, da, da. And that was cool. And it helped to have, I'll keep it 100 too, have cousins down the road who didn't play about you, though. I had my big cousin down the road. Anything go on, anything pop off? He said, cuz, don't even worry about it. I'm right up there if I need to. So it was like, you know what? Go about your business, have fun, you know what I'm saying? And do that. And I was like, you know what? That's just something that made me comfortable. Yeah, the first couple of weeks, I was like, ooh, this is rough. Mm-hmm. They had no co-ed dorms. I said, what? All the women on the other side of campus. Man dorm over here. I'm like, what? But in California, co-ed dorms. But after a while, you find out how to maneuver, find a move, you know what I'm saying? You get accustomed to it, you get accustomed to it, you know, you live your college life, and you survive, bro. Like I said, I was down there when Katrina hit in New Orleans, but you know, we had no power down there too. We had no lights.
Oh, damn. Really? Yeah, wait. So you was in Mississippi.
Yeah.
When Katrina hit.
Yeah, damn. Bro. All that. Like, I stayed in a trailer home during that time and had to go down. Stay with my grand, because we had. Let me tell you, this living though, I keep, like I said, survival, right? I had a 3-bedroom trailer, 4 dudes in it, gas, propane. It wasn't no 8 central air and heat. You had to go pay for propane to come get in your thing. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Pay the PG&E. Talking about cable, ain't no cable. If you wanted a fire channel, we didn't pay for it. We end up splitting the cable wire from somebody else over there and running to our thing. But if the PG&E thing, whatever, was off, or if that gas was out, you had no heat. I remember one Christmas for 2 weeks on break playing basketball. I had a space heater in my own room. That's it. Stuck in there with a space heater. That bill was so high, but I had to pay. But we didn't have no gas. I couldn't put no gas in the propane tank. Everybody went home for the break. You know, stuff like that. So I'm like, I've been through things as well. My grandparents, again, Mississippi, gas, you had to ration out gas. Had, you know what I'm saying? So it wasn't like being in New Orleans at that point, but it was still rations all through the South, like Mississippi. Katrina hit that too. And it was like, you know, some of my classmates, their families was done. Their families lost everything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They had to relocate after that, man. Yeah. So, you know what I mean? Yeah. So being down there, man, it's just, you learn a lot about each other and also about yourself, man.
That's why I think college is so important, because you got to pick the right degree to make sure it's something you can use to better yourself and actually get a good job. All that's important. But just for young people to be away from home, JT, like figuring life out, right? Because I went to Hill College here in Roseville, right? Like 2-3 years. And that was, I learned a lot, and it was a good college, but leaving for school and going somewhere, I had a boy who went to Nebraska, and when he got back, He went to Nebraska to play football. When he got back, I can tell the difference in him. Like, I can see he was a little more advanced than us. Like, he a little more responsible. And I can tell it's because he had to be responsible for certain things that if you go to school and your house is like an hour away or 40 minutes away, that's a big difference than your house being 600 miles away in a whole different state. And you're going to have to live with some dudes. Y'all going to have to get it how you live for a couple years. You know what I mean?
Man, the best thing I could try to take advantage of, I call my big sis, man. She was like mom number two. Send that care package. I get a box in the mail like 2 days ago, 2 days after, but I'm rationing out. Or if I'm in a dorm, my freshman stay in the dorm. So I met again, I was talking about my boy T Large. He stayed next door. And I was like, nice. I got bread. He got meat. I got noodles. He got the hot pot to make it with. Like, it was them type of nights. Like, hey, dog, yeah. I got two packs of noodles over here, but I ain't got nothing making it. Oh, shoot. I got the thing. Okay, cool. I got a microwave. All right, bet. Come over your microwave. That's our meal for the night. You know what I mean? Think about this also. Being an athlete in college, too, like that. That was almost 25 years ago, to the point where I'm up at 5 in the morning, 5:30, going to practice, running, preseason. Got to come back, shower, go to class, be on time for class, 8:30. 2-3 class that day. Go to the calf, eat lunch, practice at 2 o'clock. Okay, if I'm gonna lift weights or get some extra film in, then try to, you know, I want to hang out a little bit. I want to go see some. I want to go to something, going on campus. Black college campus be live depending on where you at. If I stay out too long, or I gotta get up in the morning, man. Go study a little bit, day in, day out.
And then it's a routine.
I didn't come home no more. I didn't come home no more summer. That first summer I stayed, after I didn't come home. I went to summer school every summer. I worked out and I trained. I stayed out there. I didn't come home during summertime no more. If it was, I think Christmas break, man, I came home. Even that first year. That second year I was playing ball, I came home for like 2 days. It was a 40-hour trip. I flew all the way home for 2 days, hit the ground running out here, saw the homies, kicked it, I'm out. Like,
there you go.
That's what it was, man. Like, yeah. It was. But it just made me, I know it made me who I am today, because it just, like I said, those trials, tribulations, those successes, that networking, that grind is like, man, yeah, it's never supposed to be easy. Those end results. And I'll say this too, yeah, we get that. You pay for school, right? And it kind of sucks. I wish all school was free, but you're really paying for them life experiences.
You are. And that's something you have to, yeah, yep. Because that ends up being the case. And, you know, like I said, I went to college close by, but I've been telling my son, especially my youngest son now, like, get away from Sacramento, man. Go somewhere away, like 2-4 years away. You'll be back in no time. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The city itself is not going to move. So you can come back to the city where you're at.
Yeah.
However, that experience of not being like, dad, come here, bring me this, is going to make you be more independent.
There you go.
It should make you more efficient. Or those life lessons of struggling, you're going to say, you know what? I can do this better next time. Or, you know what?
I need
the cafeteria. Cafeteria lady, hey, how you doing? Hey, you got an extra little cheesecake? You got an extra piece of chicken? Wrap up for me? Hey, bro, trust me. Like, them calf meals we know on Wednesday, I forgot what meal it was, but it was like, oh, that fresh fried chicken. Okay, so I know I'm going to go early. I'm going to try to slide back in there for a close, get extra piece, even though I'm supposed to come back. Like, you had to maneuver, bro, because, I mean, that fried chicken was the best thing going on.
And you had to survive, you know what I mean? You had to survive. Now, something else I want to talk to you about real quick. So, yep. 94 feet with JT, like, I'm aware of my podcast struggles and how you got to live your regular life, right? Mm-hmm. You still got to live your regular life and still be able to fund this and do everything, because people don't realize about anything you're doing that's extra, right? When people want to start a business, people want to be successful with something, cool. But for a time being, you may have to work an 8-hour job and then leave that job and switch your mentality to whatever that you want to do for yourself. And I see now why most people don't have successful businesses, why it ain't hella just millionaires running around everywhere. This shit's hard, bro. Shit's hard. And to me, the American mind says, I work 8 hours, I get off, I kick my feet up. Mm-hmm. It's time to watch that game. It's time to drink a beer. It's time to do whatever you do. You trying to unwind from the 8 hours. So tell me about your journey, bro. How do you manage making sure you work, but then put in time for what you really want to do?
Yeah. And I would say also, it's kind of like that basketball mentality. We're over, if you get over, I would say even 10 episodes, right? We're a 1%er.
So, you know what?
Dang, I work 8 hours even for me coaching. Like I said, I just finished up 17 years of coaching basketball. So put that into play too. And coaches' jobs is never done. I'm at practice, taking kids home, locking gyms up, then got to come home and either get myself ready, separated for the next day, do or do family wise. But also now it's been nice where, okay, I got to watch game film for the next game, trying to study for that. Then, okay, it's 10:30, 11. okay, I got to try to line my guests up. But also in this game, right, it could be guests on the East Coast. Okay, here's an interview in against somebody on time. Okay, now, okay, man, wait, what streaming system am I going to do? Am I going to try to be on YouTube? Am I going to try to request guests? And if that journey, that right there, man, for me early on, I was blessed during COVID, though, with the extra time. So that's what got it kickstarted, right? Because we had extra time. Work days for educators was real short. But then once it went to the full day, it was like, okay, this is going to be different.
Mm-hmm.
I got to really schedule, okay, is people really going to record on a Saturday or Sunday during their downtime?
And it
was like, man, but again, those relationships, though, I was like, look, okay, I need an hour of your time max, right? It may be a little shorter. Okay, what's best for you?
Mm-hmm.
I say, you know what? I'll make the exception. I'll either try to wiggle some around or I'll squeeze it in. I'll stay up late or for time. I would get up at, if I had to be at work at 8, I'm getting up at 6 our time to make it for that 8 o'clock time out there, whatever it is, or 7. I get up at 5:30 to record a show for East Coast because it's what it is. And I was like, but that make my day even longer.
And
I was like, you know what I mean? It's just like being flexible is key, but also then trying to upgrade your stuff, right? Knowing, hey, man, you might want to get a better quality camera.
That's how I went through all those stages too, brother.
And what does that mean? More money. But if you're not monetizing this right now, everybody views, I'm trying to put an advertising thing out there. I had a couple of people excited about ads, but nobody been like full. So it's still me. So I'm like, ooh, I got to make sure my mortgage paid first, though. Don't cut out nothing else. Make sure the other bills pay because this, you know what I mean? And it's like, you know, people say, hey, you know, how you doing? How's it going? I'm like, yeah, it's rough. Bro, it gets to the point, couple times you're just physically tired of that routine.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, would I like it to get fully monetized? And hell yeah, I would. I ain't gonna lie to you. I want a show. I want a once a week show in Sack. I said that or something where I want a radio maybe show.
Me but too. Yeah.
You know what? I want to do it to where I still have the opportunity to have the guests I would like on the show. Mm-hmm. I want to be the people I want to, you know what I mean, to start this thing too. So if it don't align, you know, we'll talk about when it get to that point. But also, you know what? It was like somebody, because my boys keep saying, no, Jay. Keep putting out the content, though.
That's
keep
what people tell me. And that's, yeah. Yeah, one of my boys told me, he hit me too. He's like, man, you know you're doing pretty good because the average podcasters stop after like, I don't know, 10 episodes, 20, something like that. You know what I mean? Yep. And I didn't even think about it that way, but it's a struggle. And what I'm learning for the first time, because I had kids early, so I didn't grow up thinking about what I really wanted to do besides basketball, right? So once basketball didn't work out for me, my ankle's all fucked up, I'm like, all right, I'm going to go to this technical college, which was cool, but that's not something that I had a passion about. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So this, just really just my community in general is what I'm passionate about. Mm-hmm. And the podcast, it's like the vehicle I use, right?
Mm-hmm.
But just being able to talk to so many people, it's changing me, bro. Like it's such a powerful
vehicle.
Learning a lot about people, being able to create relationships with people that I probably would have never spoken to.
Yeah.
Likewise, because you mentioned like having all these connections from college and people that you know who was already in certain positions. I'm looking at like, because my show is, it has like a deep conscious feel to it, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm looking at the Barry Axis of the world and all the individuals in my community who I see moving and shaking, but like on the same time I'm on, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Throughout my journey, I've seen a lot of these people. Throughout my journey, I've been able to work with them, right? And I told myself, look, I'm not finna go to nobody asking for a handout. Like, hey, can you help me do this? Hey, can you just be on my little show? I was like, nah, let me build it up a little bit. Build it up around me. And what people are noticing is the consistency. And I'm starting to get to that point too, JT, where look, I'm going to interview somebody who I'm inspired by, who I think have a nice platform or a nice message. But in the beginning, I would interview people who just asked. Like, I want to practice. So what you're doing is kind of cool. Cool. Come on. Now I'm like, wait a minute. If you do a show, or if you're, because I'm in these podcast Facebook groups where I'm speaking to people, right? Okay. And I'm like, let me back up a little bit, Harrison. Look, if you doing something I'm doing, but you're not grinding like I'm grinding, we can't rock, man. It has to be mutual. It has to be mutually beneficial. You know what I mean?
That value is the word. My boy, shout out to Rodney, man. He's in Sacramento. Rodney doing some dope things, man. I got in my wall, man. He got a pyramid, humans right on top. You teach your humans right. You follow flow and then the system, you put a system in place. You know what I'm saying? We want to get paid. Yes, I would love to get fully whatever. I would love to get a residual income, right? Where I go to my other job and just make money off streaming off the
site.
I can be able to do that and make that money pay for itself. But
like,
you can't put the cash on top of the pyramid.
Mm.
You can't put the cash, it ain't gonna go. We the humans, right? We create this vehicle, you create this podcast. it myself. And now the system's in place. I know what I'm doing. Now people go, I can send somebody an email. You know, I see value in what you're doing. I appreciate you. I like to highlight you on my show. Would you like to be? Man, and they say, okay, some of them say, yeah, off top. Some say, you know, send me a link. Let me check it out.
There we go.
Oh, yeah.
There we go.
Oh, yeah. Yep. And I'm like, I'm fully independent. I'm not paying for my guests. Mm-hmm. I'm not paying my guests, you know what I mean? But they're like, you know what? I appreciate you checking in on me. I would love to do it. Let's work something out. And then we just have dialogue after that. Then after that, it's basically I met a new associate or new friend. To
be like, there we go.
A resource. People say, hey, Jay, if you ever come my way, Jay, thanks for the interview. Tap in with me. You know, I got you. I'm good.
Human capital. Yeah.
Bro, I go out here. Hey, I'm in your city. What's up? Jay, meet me over here. I got you. Oh, I can take you to a game. Bro, bet. Coming down, so you know, it's the value, man. And really, like, and it's just, yes, like I said, being me, they see the value in that. And that's why I said, I can get in even more places now. Like, I had an event Saturday night at our place, Event Space, here in Saturday.
Yeah, I seen that.
Man, just the love. People came out. They was like, Jay. And me first off, everybody who came, you know, it's all back, like, attire. But just people look nice. We got to dress up. We have a good time. People was like, man, I had a good time. You know, it's often, you know what I mean? I'm an 80s baby, man. We grew up dancing.
Yeah, come on now.
Doing that. So I ain't dancing a while. I want to get in kind of dance. You know, I probably a little sore the next day, but I want to go out there and dance some music with people I grew up with, went to club. You know, we used to club. I used to tear Sacramento down, man. Me and my boys would be out here tough. You know what I mean? Dancing. But it was like, we had a good time. And my people, my mom, my auntie there, and they had a good time. So it was like, and they was like, Jay, win the next one, man. Jay, win the next one. But they saw value. Met some new people too. They was like, hey, you put on a really good event. We had a good time. No drama, no BS. And I was like, at where we at right now, it's about stress relievers, good time with family and friends, making memories, but also creating value for the people. Because in that network, in that event, people was talking. Now, they was communicating about it, whatever. Hopefully, some networks were made. You know what? I was like, man, I enjoy myself, and it's good for people to show the love. But through this, it's like, that's what it was for, though. I say, you know what? I want to be able to go different places. And like I said, this spring and summer, man, I'm praying. Like I said, I just made official LLC. So I want to go on the road more and do some road interviews because I got people in different cities. I let her travel. So why not take on the road? Let's get this interview while I'm here. Take a little bit of both. You know what I'm saying? Work a little playtime, but also I'm learning that I'm going to get a dope interview in their element too.
You said you were celebrating your 3 years, and I think I think I'm about 3 years too. But the thing is, bro, you gotta reevaluate, because when we moving and grooving, sometimes you don't got the time to look up and kind of take a look at the landscape and see what's going on every day. It's something else. You do an interview, and me, I do it. I clip it out, get it out there. Time for a new one. I do it, clip it out, get it out there. Time for a new one. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, so it keep on going, but I'm seeing the progress, even if it's just like you said, I'll go to the African marketplace or go places where it's people who think like me, and they'll know they have seen that episode, or I've done some live shows at the African marketplace. So, bro, we just got to keep grinding, man.
Yeah, and it's the purpose. And like I said, at first I was, because we know like the viewerships and the you don't see the actual person. You may see the like or something like that, but to realize I teach at Fortune 2 part-time professor, man, going on 6 years, kid who wasn't in my class, he was like, hey, ain't you Coach JT? I was like, yeah. He was like, man, you had Marcellus Howard on your show. Marcellus went to Capital Christian, big time YouTuber. I actually coached against Marcellus, and he was like, I worked him out while we good friends. He was like, Coach, I watched the episode. That was super dope. I was like,
see how that worked? Because you don't see the person that's liking it. You don't know. And people, I tell people all the time, I want the biggest audience possible, right? Who does it, right? But look at it like this. If you got 100 people look at you, put 100 people in a room. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of people. Surround yourself with 100 people in a room. That's a lot of different viewpoints. That's a lot of different perspectives. And people, most watchers of things don't comment. They don't comment. They don't like either, but they seen it.
They just view. You know what I'm saying? They just view, man. I told the boy, I said, hey, man, you know what? I'm going to shout you out in my next episode. He said, what? For real? I said, you watch my show, man. I appreciate it. He's like, oh, I said, it's nothing for me to do that, man. I appreciate you taking time out to watch the show.
There we go.
Even turned off. Or like he said, no, he said, Coach, I watch every episode. And I was like, man, you know what? Again, yeah. And we know those 10,000 hours, right? I haven't put the 10,000 in yet on this part. The basketball part, I believe I have. So that's why I'm at where I'm at, where I can do what I do. This part, that's why I say, you know, I got some partners who are doing it in it, but they've been doing it for a while. So that's why they are where they are with it. I had to come down to my realization, like, you know what? It ain't an overnight thing. I can't just click the button. I can't just click the button and be that type of that person, bringing the income, monetization, fully show where I want to be without putting the work in. So I say, you know what? I go to sometimes go to paper. Okay, let me see. Don't want to focus on youth this segment. I got to go to some women's games in the Oakland Bay Area. I've been covering them last year. They come up on year three. I say, you know what? But they see value in it now. I get to go out there. They're going on year three coming up now. Hey, man, we want you to be our play-by-play person at the end of the game. Our interviewer, I was like, I have fun right down the road. Add value to women's game. But they're building their platform. But I'm helping build it with them, thinking invest in this system, right? I'm putting my time in. No money's received, nothing like that. I was going out there on a weekend last summer, two, three times a weekend. But they was like, Jay, I appreciate you covering our game. I said, yeah, it's good, but I'm investing in it because I'm it'll happen when it happens.
And you got to just keep going in that direction, bro. And that's what I'm noticing. Like, I'm beginning to meet the right people. There's been times, JT, where I'm like, honestly, I'm tired of this shit.
For sure.
I don't want to talk to nobody today. I don't want to clip nothing. And then, I'm a big believer in the universe. I'm a believer in God, too. Yeah. I think signs are always coming my way. Whenever I'm skeptical, whenever I'm like, damn, should I keep? Or whenever I'm doubting myself, I get a message from somebody.
Yeah.
Or I get a invite from somebody to come host something or do something. I'm like, man, you got to listen to the universe, bro. The worst thing I can do right now is stop.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Yeah, so everything has to be a full grind.
And everybody, I mean, and sometimes I will say this, you can take a pause. Like even this year I was, and I needed one too during hoop season where I was trying to focus on getting playoffs. I say, you know what? I'm going to chill. I've dropped my last episode, I think, right November, right after Thanksgiving. I said, I'm going to take December, focus on this hoop thing with my boys because I had my first group of seniors. But also gave me time to reset and break a little bit.
I did that too.
When I had a couple people say, hey, Jay, when the next one, a couple coaches I know, they're like, hey, what's up, man? When the next one? I was like, okay, they waiting on something. I created a little want for myself. And I was like, okay, I need to step back too. But also I say, you know what? I got to get back on it because they're going to get it. But also, when I put more stuff out there, or get myself in these rooms, or go to these events, I mean,
there you go.
That could be the one break I need, or one.
There you go. Yep.
On that springboard, and I'm like, you know, it takes off. So again, you got to take time for yourself, take time away, because your brain, again, this communication thing, that this talking like that is not easy.
It's not easy as I thought it was. It's not easy as people think it is. You see what I'm saying? But I'm looking at my life like, damn. Okay, I went to college. I didn't help raise these children. What do I got for me? And then I'm going through this process like, this is what it's about. Like, this shit wasn't supposed to be easy, because when we finally get it exactly the way we want to, all the shit that's going to come with that, we'll be prepared for it, bro. So I'm looking at people who are successful in any field, and I'm thinking, damn, they had to go through it.
Yeah, hey, I always say this too, though, man, as black men, bro, people, and some women may realize this, but if they don't, I'm going to say here too, man. It's hard for black men to find their niche in there where they feel like they're comfortable and can support themselves or a family or support kids, to where it's not like that labor feeling, man.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you get a job, even when I'm in my current position now in my nonprofit, being in the community, it was like I've been in the community all my life, but each of my jobs or my tasks on my journey has got me to where I am today as far as being a community outreach specialist, where I'm doing prevention work in the community. But I've always been around kids. I talk to parents all the time. I run centers. I run things like that. It just helped me get there to where, you know what? It's not really work. I love to go talk to our people or people in general about information, survival, or stuff and stuff like that. But also, I love the resources like bring to the table. People like, my job is like, Jay, you know a lot of people. I'm like, yeah. I went to school here. I coached here. I played here. But I can bring those things together to help either get prevention information, or I can help them get doors they may not be able to get in based off who I am. And I'm like, you know what? That's a good feeling. It's good to be wanted. People want to be right. They want, oh man, hey, JT got that plug. Oh, JT, I appreciate you. JT, you knocked down the door for us. I'm like, it's nothing. You know what I mean? We're here for the same cause. We're trying to do good work. Sometimes you got to open doors for people who may not be able to get there. I'm like, you know what? I say some type of gatekeeper type thing. Man, if I got the key, I'm going to let you in.
If I got the key, I'm going to let you in. And then you're going to end up throwing it back my way. That's happened a lot of times. Some of the people that I've interviewed, I thought they was dope and they inspired me. I didn't know they was gonna go off and write fucking 5 books and be traveling the world touring a book. I'm like, damn, you didn't blew up.
But that interview,
they got love for me though.
Yeah,
because I created a connection with them when maybe they was feeling low. Maybe they was at a point when they was like, should I still be doing this? Because doing anything creative, people don't get it, man. It's a more sweat equity than anything. Because people around me be like, I love what you do. It looks nice. where the money at?
and that's the thing. People, or even people may think they may think you're getting money.
Yeah.
Or they be like, oh, like, man, you doing all this, but they like, I'm like, you know, and I keep it, like I said, ain't no income coming in right now. It's not like that. I got an online store. Who's spending money on to pay for that? Me. Yeah, I've got some merch going a couple times. Seasonal shout out to everybody who bought merch, but also, yeah, what I want my thing to be hot, ringing, of course, but that's take work. Do I got a marketing team? No. Do I got somebody running my social media? No, I wish I did, but that costs money, unless that's just somebody's contract. That costs bread to have somebody always posting on your face, your social media, stuff like that, and being more accurate and all the hashtags. That take time. Yep. Also, I'm working a full-time gig over here, and I still love the game of coaching. So, yeah, I'm pulling myself, which I've always done, man. I put myself in multiple ways.
Me too.
It felt like this. If I was sitting down too long and being, I was like, ugh, I got to do something.
We only got one life to live, bro. I would hate to be an older man thinking, damn, I should have tried that. Yeah. Damn, I should have put my hands in that. Damn, I don't want to have none of those regrets, bro. So I just put it all on the line and the shit gonna fall where it fall. But you know, because most Americans just work that job. JT, they work the job, retire.
Yeah.
Do the little retirement. I'm not knocking that way of doing it, but I'm like, damn, I want to do something outside of that. You know what I mean? I want to do something. Yeah,
I wouldn't even say, but I would put it to this, right? Really, it's not most African Americans. We got to work multiple hustles. You feel me?
Come on now.
I wish I could work one gig, support my family, take care of my moms, bro. Take care of everybody like I want to. But to get to that point, I gotta go two gigs in, maybe three. I remember for like 2 years, man, 2.5 years, maybe three. I was working at DMV, man, as a HR specialist. Work. I got to get knowing people. I got to plug to get in there. It was like, ooh, some brother working in here. Man, HR. I'm not a desk person, right? I like to be out amongst the people for 2 years. I would go there from 8 to 4 or 5. I go to practice or games from 5, 6, 7, 8 o'clock. I would go work a graveyard shift at the children's home, receiving home off Wadden Auburn from 11 to 7. Non-stop. I would be sometimes zombie mode, trying to somewhat chase money or the bag. But wasn't doing my body. I was like, I don't know how I did it. I survived. But also the relationship though, man, I built relationships at DMV while I was working there. I built relationships with the children at a children's home, man, because again, being around kids, people, they need somebody. But they was like, I used to work in the girls doing it. Like, why are you in the girls? I said, man, they need to see a positive mentor. But also didn't give me the blues like they get at the women, the other girls. I come in there with the graveyard. All right, you're ready for school. Get your dorm stuff ready. Get your chores done. Watch a quick movie. If it's a weekend, school night, y'all got to be in bed. But I respect them, you know, something like that. Get up in the morning. I wouldn't wake them up, abruptly. You know, I had a little routine, hit the lights, have a little music playing. They was like, it's cool. But I've seen stuff go the opposite way. But I said, I got to do stuff differently to where they respect me. Because eventually the value, right, on my off days from that, JT, you mind coming in? Or JT, you know what I mean? I'm like, you know what? I'm going to try to get to it. But also, you know what? They just knew I had a relationship with certain of them kids other people didn't do. And they was like, you know what? That was still the main drive. From doing all that was just to be around other people and help be a light, bless somebody else, try to be somebody else's comfort.
Yeah, that's what we just all be trying to do, man.
And that's what I realized what it is. No, have I been perfect at it? Hell no. Keep it all the way 100, man. Nope. Have I messed up some places? I know I have. But I would like to think that I have been better to others than I haven't been.
That's what it's about. We should leave this place better than we found it. And of course, it starts with your immediate family, your kids, your woman, your mama, everybody around you. But if people
all that take work too, man.
All that take work too. But if you don't like, I always tell people, JT, if you don't like some of the stuff you see going on in our country, whether it be just being black and don't like how we treat it, like how we treat each other, all the shit you see and you don't like, some of it you can't directly affect or control, but you can affect how you treat people. You can affect who you look after. You can affect the message you put out there. You can affect just being a good person when nobody looking. You see what I'm saying? If everybody just took the time to do that, should it be different?
I mean, you know, Dynamics of Kennedy, right? It's a melting pot at Kennedy. It's been a mixture, right? We had back then, especially growing up, you know, we had Asian, Samoan, Hispanic,
everything.
It's everything, right? So I was in a forum where even like today, man, I love sushi. My house, my friend, right? But back then, my mom wasn't eating it back then. She didn't know about it. She liked it now. But back then, I had schools, Spam, Musabi, like, I was eating that. But my kid, my homies at school went to it. But it was like that diversity. But again, some of the same people I went to school with, went to class with, or them teachers, hey, how you doing? JT, how you, man? They got businesses now. They got their own family. Some of the kids may be at Kennedy. Some, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Those lessons back then helped me get where I am now. Because again, it's just valuing them, being respectful to people. You know what I'm saying? Treating them right. If you go to somebody's house, being right to their parents, that's what it's about. Because you want to live a long, prosperous life, right? As mm-hmm. we right. a situation, but you want to, it's about that legacy. When you leave this place, you want people to say, man, Jay was this, or Coach Jay did that, even though, but Coach Jay, or some of the best results, like I said, some of the guys like when I coached or trained now, I see them now. I went to a birthday party for my player, like, Coach, he turned 30. I got an invite. I said, maybe we're having a drink together. He said, Coach, but it's been love. They check in with me. If I see him, Coach, I appreciate you. One of my assistant coaches, man, his son for a minute back then had to stay at my house for a couple of days. Him and dad got into it. But if he said, I knew back then you was the best coach for my son. He said, we was going through it. And I was like, man, that mean a lot. He was my coach, you know what I'm saying, Ramar Crump and his son, and Ramar Jr. But it was like, he was like, man, we need some time. It wasn't working for us then. He said, but he stayed with you. I took him in. I still took him to school. I said, you need to talk to your dad. I mean, I would talk to dad offline for a minute, let him know he was good in good hands. I said, but you got to talk to pops, man. You know what I mean? Because it's like, man, because again, if I don't do it, if you don't do it, who going to do it, man? Like, realistically.
Who's going to do it? We expecting people outside of our community, JT, to take care of us sometime. We really got everything we need right here.
They're not obligated to do so. They're not obligated to do that. And they're going to take care of their own, right? Yep. But we won't take care of our own enough. And like I said, it does hurt because we are outnumbered as far as males in our community who are out here being. Mm-hmm. But it's like, now, can we bring together the resources we have to help each other out? We can, and that's what we got to do more of, because it's more kids hurting because they don't have that part, man. Just a little bit of guidance, just a little bit of somebody say, you know what, hey, thanks for coming to my game, or thanks for showing
up, now,
for training me, or thanks for giving me a time of day. Just a little conversation, man. You know what I mean?
There we go.
It's needed a lot, man. I just think, like, you know what I mean, again, that foundation of God in the beginning, but also being an impactful person. But I was blessed, I can't lie. I had a ton of outside figures impact my life, which made me, you know what I'm saying, realize it's only right for me to be the same person as somebody else. I can name these gentlemen by hand. I could, you know what I'm saying, I could go see him and talk to him. I could see him at church. I could call him right now, or some of the older guys have passed away. But I knew, like, if I needed anything or any conversation, these OGs was like, hey, Jay, let's talk. Or, you know what I mean? So that meant value. So, you know what? I got to be that to somebody else, man. I should put myself, you got to be vulnerable.
Yeah.
It ain't easy. We're going to get hurt. And even as coaches, man, you get hurt. Kids leave. Kids transfer. Parents dog you out because you ain't playing your son or daughter.
That's part of it. Yep.
They dog you, man. But you realize, you know what? Why am I really doing this? Okay. That comes with the territory. I know my value. I know my family got my back. Okay. That's all that really matters. But also, when these kids really see it, and they may not see it where they play for you, but when they leave and come back and say, hey, coach, when they graduate, I said, I want to see you graduate. I want to see you go to school. I want to see you get a career. They come back and say, hey, coach, man, I appreciate you. Yeah, that was the check I was waiting to cash, man. It wasn't, you know what I'm saying? That's intangible. You can't take that from me.
There we go. Thank you so much, brother, for agreeing to come on the show, man. I wanted to build with you and have this convo. Definitely much needed, and we definitely going to do it again. I'm willing to come on your show whenever you're ready. Just let me know.
I got to say it, man. We're going to cross-pollinate this thing, but also you got resources and network, man. But appreciate you, man. Like I said, for real, and it's like we can do this with no hidden agendas, man.
There we go.
Highlight other people, other businesses, other things in Sac, man, and just keep it going. But also nationwide, because anybody can hear it, baby. Everybody can hear it, man. So keep doing what you're doing. Stay plugging, but take your breaks too, man. I know you going hard, man. So take your breaks, refuel, and keep up with them. Keep them boys going, man. You're doing a great job. I know sometimes, again, these kids are different too. Trust me, I'm an educator. I know as a parent, trying to separate that could be different too. But man, just keep doing what you're doing, and know that you're doing a good job, bro.
Definitely, bro. So do me a favor and tell everybody where they can find you.
And the one-stop shop will take you there. 94feetwithcoachjt.com. It's the website to buy merch, listen to episodes, follow on IG, Instagram, Facebook, all those platforms, man, too, man. Again, 94feetwithcoachjt.com. I appreciate you again, man. Y'all tap in. This spring and summer, man, got some more stuff coming up for you, man. You got to come to the next event. I'm working on it. Got to come to the next event. Chill with you. Hang out. We got some grown folk time, man. Just have a good time. Relax, my guy.
Yeah, I'll be there, man. So thanks. Shout out to my boy JT, man, for coming on the show. Everybody follow me at Melanated Convo 100 on Instagram. Again, the show is on YouTube under the Melanated Convo. All the digital platforms, it's Melanated Convo Podcast. We're going to keep grinding, man. We're going to keep bringing guests that I'm very interested in, but people I know that will bring something to the table and be interesting to the audience. So keep plugging in, man. Keep tap it in with the Melanated Convo Podcast. We're going to keep on going and keep on doing this thing. This has been another episode. My boy JT, happy to finally connect with my guy. We out.
Yes, sir.